Welcome back to Everybody Money, the podcast where we dive into the world of money without the jargon, the condescension, or the old guys yelling at you about your coffee habits. I'm Kyle, your host, the least qualified person on the planet to host this show, but I'm here because I believe learning about money doesn't have to be so complicated. Today is actually our first real full episode. We had a little pilot teaser released previously, but now we're going to get into the real thing. And today we're tackling a question that's really important for anyone trying to plan for their financial well-being. And something that is ironically, however, subject to some controversy. How much emergency fund do you really need? An emergency fund is a safety net of cash meant to cover for unexpected expenses. An emergency fund should have kind of two primary features. It should be set aside. It's something you keep somewhere other than with your day-to-day expenses. So instead of putting it in the checking account where you keep your money you use on a daily basis, you might put your emergency fund in a savings account at your bank. But at the same time, your emergency fund should also be accessible, something you can get to quickly. That's why it's a good idea to have it at the same bank where you have your checking, because you could quickly transfer it from your savings account to your checking account on the app maybe, or over the phone, or by going to the bank. And maybe you could even pull from it from your ATM, because some debit cards allow you to withdraw from both your checking account or your savings account where you might have your emergency fund. An emergency fund is for those unexpected things that come up that are beyond what you could typically afford with your monthly income. So while you might have a budget for things you need every month like rent or food, other things like medical emergencies or car repairs or even like semi-emergencies, like you need a new outfit for an important job interview, that's where an emergency fund comes into play. A lot of people, a lot of experts will say that it's helpful to have a few different kinds of emergency funds. There's small, immediate emergencies, like a car repair, something that can't really wait, but it's a temporary problem. And if you have the cash to cover it, it's done and it's taken care of. But there's also bigger emergencies, like if you've lost your job or some other stream of income and you need to replace that income, you need something to live off of. This you want to have in an ideal world enough you could live on without your job for at least a few months. And people will give different numbers about what amount of time, and it's something that maybe you need to think about for yourself about what you'd be comfortable with. Some people would say that your immediate emergency fund, so your small emergency fund, should be pretty small. A common suggestion is $1,000. And some also will go so far as to say that you shouldn't save up for a longer-term emergency fund, so that income replacement amount, until you've paid down most of your debt, like student loans, credit cards. So basically, these people are saying that you should only have $1,000 in your savings until you are debt-free. In my opinion, and others' opinion too, that can be risky. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, I think that's a really dangerously low amount. It probably depends on your situation. It depends on where you live. Here in Massachusetts, $1,000 is not going to buy much in an emergency. But I think even somewhere beyond Massachusetts, a huge car repair or a house repair can often be a lot more than $1,000 in this day and age. So you're going to be left in a situation where either you don't have enough to pay it, and so you just don't get it. You have to go without it if that's possible. Or you'll have to take on more debt in order to pay for it, which kind of defeats the purpose of trying to pay off debt. So I think especially if you don't have a long-term savings, an income replacement savings, I personally would feel comfortable with at least $3,000 to $5,000 as an ideal, as a goal in my immediate emergency fund. I think kind of my rule of thumb is you should have at least enough to pay your rent or mortgage and maybe your car loan if you have one for 1 month. And the reason I think it's important to have those things is even if you're debt-free, that's not going to help you very much if you can't pay your rent or your mortgage because you can't pay those things with a credit card. It's the sort of thing where cash is the only replacement. And so prioritizing that before tackling your debt is personally what I would feel more comfortable with. So when it comes to that longer term emergency fund or that income replacement fund, experts have different views on how much you should aim for. Some say you should aim for 3 or maybe 6 months worth of expenses saved up. So you look at your budget or you look at your monthly spending and figure out what you would need to live for 3 to 6 months with no other income. And some would say you should even have more than 6 months. Some people even refer to this as an FU fund, right? This is the money you have that gives you the confidence to leave a job or a situation like a relationship if it isn't good for you. It can be a really empowering feeling. I'm at this job, it's fine right now, but I know if I ever wanted to leave, I could because I had 6 months of money to live on. Ultimately, though, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. So how do you figure out what is right for you? I'd say start by assessing your expenses. What kind of emergency would be difficult to handle without some extra money to fall back on? What would you do if you lost some or all of your income? And kind of work backwards from there to figure out what your goals might be. You can also think about what your risk factors might be. If you don't have a car, a random car repair is not really a concern. But you might have a pet, and you might have to consider a medical emergency for your pet and what that might cost. And the last thing is you'll want to maybe think about how to determine your comfort level in that trade-off between saving for emergencies and paying off debt or targeting other financial goals like saving for something else, a vacation, a wedding, or even investing. So you need to think about what are you comfortable with in trading off between all these different things.
Here at Everybody Money, we believe that learning about money and personal finance doesn't have to be so difficult. That's why we have created a self-paced online course called Your Financial Future, a Guide for Beginners. This manageable and down-to-earth personal finance course empowers you to plan for your future needs and goals without all the big words, sales pitches, and angry old men. This course puts you in the driver's seat of your own financial journey. Through bite-sized videos, illustrative graphics, and practical exercises, you will gain the financial literacy necessary to navigate the worlds of saving, investing, and retirement planning. We'll talk about the purpose of saving and investing, how to plan for retirement, what resources you can use to help you analyze and readjust your goals as needed, and more. For a limited time, listeners of the podcast get the course for the absolute lowest price available using the coupon code MONEYLISTEN. That's MONEYLISTEN. Learn more and sign up through our Beacons Link portal. This link is available in the podcast description and show notes. Don't wait to start planning for a better financial future. Enroll today.
So how would you get started with an emergency fund? Here's what I would do. I would look at your budget and decide how much you can set aside every month to fill up your emergency fund. Once you decide what your small emergency goal is and your big emergency goal is and which one you're going to prioritize, you know, maybe you're going to start with one and then shift to another priority and go back to the other. But once you decide that, look at your budget and decide how much you can set aside toward those goals. And then schedule an automatic transfer so that you transfer that amount into your emergency fund on the day that you get your paycheck. That way you don't forget and you don't accidentally spend that before you've done your saving. So just to recap how to think about emergency funds. First, it's a good idea to aim to have two emergency funds, one for immediate short-term emergencies and another for replacing your income. The amount you need for each varies a lot based on your circumstances and what you feel comfortable with. You might be comfortable with a leaner emergency fund before you pay off debt or not. And two, these funds should be separate but easy to access. Building an emergency fund could seem daunting at first, but every little bit counts. Even if you're starting with just a small amount each month, you're on the path to creating a financial safety net that can provide peace of mind and security for you and your family.
It's time for our segment. In the News with Spencer, the part of the show where we flip typical business news on its head. Instead of a human reading words that might as well be from an alien, we have an artificial intelligence reading actual human words that anyone can understand. Earlier in March 2024, President Biden gave his State of the Union address and outlined some plans he has for taxes. The president wants to change how companies in the United States are taxed, trying to make it more difficult for companies to find workarounds and loopholes to reduce their taxes. First is an increase to the taxes companies pay on what are known as stock buybacks. Stock buybacks are when a company buys back some of the shares they've issued on the stock market. They do this for a few different reasons. One reason is to try to increase the value of the stock. By reducing the number of stocks available, the price goes up. An important principle of economics is supply and demand. Less supply means higher prices. This makes investors happy because it means their stocks will probably increase in value. For example, if Apple bought up almost all the iPhones in the world and there were only 100 left, the 100 left would be worth a lot of money, and the 100 of us lucky enough to have them are going to be really happy. Same idea. This is one of two ways companies try to make their investors happy. The other way is through dividends, where they pay out some of their extra profits to their shareholders monthly, quarterly, or annually. So if you own a few shares of a company, you might get an extra few cents or even a few dollars for each share that you get back as a little extra that goes right into your investment account as cash or can be used to buy more stock. In both of these situations, companies have to pay taxes. Companies usually prefer stock buybacks because the taxes on them are typically much lower than on dividends, but that's what President Biden is trying to change. Critics think that companies will just react by finding other strategies. Since the taxes on dividends can vary a lot based on the context, some companies might do more dividends if that looks more advantageous. Or they might use their extra profits to buy up other companies, meaning companies might get bigger. The other changes the president proposed are to the general taxes corporations pay. President Biden wants to increase the overarching tax rate on corporations from 21% to 28%. And he wants to increase what's called the book minimum tax, which is basically a threshold of taxes corporations have to pay without taking any deductions. So basically, it limits how many deductions a company can claim. All these changes might be just rhetoric, because the president can't really do these without support in Congress, which he doesn't have right now since the House of Representatives is controlled by Republicans who will likely oppose these ideas. And that's what's in the news.
We hope today's episode sheds some light on how to approach building your emergency fund. Remember, it is not ultimately about the size of your fund, but the security it offers for you and your family. Thank you for joining us. We will see you on the next episode of Everybody Money.